ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Welcome to Mushroom Case Daily, the podcast that follows all the twists and turns of the Erin Patterson case. I'm Christian Silver, a court reporter with the ABC in Melbourne.
And I'm Stephen Stockwell. I'm the producer of Mushroom Case Daily, and we are here with our very first episode of this podcast, which is quite exciting after we birthed it into the world a few weeks ago now. This episode will be a little bit different to our usual apps. Ordinarily, we will be kind of giving you a rundown of the day in court, when this is in court. Today, we're going to give you an explainer of kind of where we're up to, how we got here, all those bits and pieces. There's a lot that has happened, though. So, Christian, before we get going, can you just kind of, bring us up to speed on how we got here?
It's a really massive case, Stocky. It's got the attention of the world. But to try to sum it up for you, it all centres around a lunch that was held at Erin Patterson's house in the country Victorian town of Leongatha in July last year. She'd invited over some of her in-laws, extended family members for this lunch, and she'd cooked up quite a fancy meal of beef Wellington, which contains beef, pastry, and another ingredient, mushrooms, which is the centre of this case, right?
Yeah.
About a week after that lunch, three of those extended relatives actually died in hospital, and a fourth one endured a long stint in hospital and eventually pulled through. Police began a pretty major investigation, and they were looking into what happened at this lunch and looking into Erin Patterson, who was a suspect in this case. And it took several months, but they eventually did charge Erin Patterson with murder and attempted murder, and then arrested her, and she faced court all the way back in November. It's now been about 5 months since that time, and here we are now.
Where's Erin Patterson now?
Erin Patterson is in the Dame Phyllis Frost Centre. It's basically a prison on the outskirts of Melbourne.
And so she's like in a cell there?
Effectively, yeah, she is. The prison is kind of split up into different areas, and there's a section there for people who are guilty and serving out their sentence. And then there's another section called the remand section, and that's for people whose cases are before the courts. So they have a little bit more freedom than the other prisoners. And Erin Patterson is technically on remand.
Yeah, cool. On remand, extra benefits, like nicer food?
In theory, potentially nicer food. Possibly better visitation rights, better access to phone calls to call lawyers and family members, that sort of thing.
Will she basically stay there until the trial?
It's possible. Erin Patterson could remain in the Dame Phyllis Frost Centre during the court process, or she could apply for what's called bail, which is temporary release into the community.
Yep.
There's a whole other court process that comes with that, though.
Okay.
But it's an option that's available to her.
Yeah, cool. And what has she said up until this point?
Well, before the arrest was made, I think people will remember when there were a whole bunch of journalists who came onto Erin Patterson's property at her house in Leongatha, and she protested her innocence then and said this whole thing was a tragedy and she never intended for these people to die.
Yep.
She also then wrote a statement which was provided to the police, and the ABC also has a copy of that, in which she further protested her innocence.
We are going to be, when this is in court, basically dropping a new episode every afternoon. Big part of that's going to be us covering the trial. When is that?
We're a long way off a trial.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that there's not a lot to talk about.
Okay.
Because there's going to be things that are coming.
Good, because I'm enjoying this at the moment, so I would like to keep making it. When will we make one of those episodes, one of those court case eps?
I reckon our next episode is going to be on the 22nd of April.
Okay.
That's when this case returns to court formally for the first time in about 5 months.
Is that up the road in like from the ABC here in Melbourne, like in the court here?
No, we'll be out in country Victoria at the Latrobe Valley Magistrates Court.
Yep.
Basically, it's still sort of in the early stages. And the purpose of the next couple of hearings will be for a magistrate, which is basically a judge, to get an update on how the police case is going and the evidence that the police have been collecting.
Sweet. So what are like the sides that show up there?
We'll have Erin Patterson's lawyers, there'll be police prosecutors, there'll be the magistrate.
Yep.
And there may be some people in the public as well who turn up. And of course, Erin Patterson could show up in person as well in the court dock under, security escort
as well. So we could see her there.
We could potentially see her there. What's also a genuine possibility for these preliminary hearings is that the accused people actually appear over a video link and they stay in the prison and they get beamed into the courtroom on a big screen.
Cool. And then where do we go after those prelim hearings?
It's all kind of building up to this thing called a committal hearing.
Yep.
And that's basically a big test of the police evidence. The police will have to lay some of their cards on the table and a magistrate is going to have to be convinced that police have enough evidence to send this case to a full trial. Also, Erin Patterson will have a formal opportunity to enter the guilty or not guilty plea. So building up to that committal, that's super important.
Yeah, cool. And will we get a lot to talk about out of that?
Out of the committal or before that?
Out of the committal, yeah.
Possibly.
Okay.
I think what will generally happen in a committal hearing is that the police have to, as I say, lay some of the cards on the table. They're going to have to go through some of the evidence that they've collected. Mm. And it's possible as well that the defense lawyer, the lawyer representing Erin Patterson, might try to interrogate that evidence, might try to pick some holes in it as well.
Yeah.
So we could get some pretty good answers from that.
And then we go to a trial. When's that going to be?
Hard to really predict the timelines here, but if we go to a committal hearing later in the year, let's say we go by the end of the year, maybe we get to a trial in late 2025.
What are the actual charges that we're working with here?
Erin Patterson is charged with 3 counts of murder, and they relate to Don and Gail Patterson. These are the parents of Erin's estranged husband, Simon. So these are the two of the people who were there for this lunch, who ate the beef Wellington meal. Mm-hmm. Another person who died was Heather Wilkinson. There's also 5 counts of attempted murder. One of those counts relates to Ian Wilkinson. So this is the husband of Heather who passed away. He's the guy who spent a long time in hospital after eating the meal and pulled through.
Yep.
There's also an attempted murder charge relating to Simon Patterson, the estranged husband. Police allege that he was actually meant to be at this lunch and police say he was an intended target, but because he wasn't there, obviously didn't eat the meal.
Yeah, but it's the idea is that I guess he was supposed to be there, so that's where that charge is coming from.
Correct. And there's also some additional attempted murder charges where police claim that Erin Patterson tried to murder Simon Patterson on previous occasions about a year or two before that fateful lunch.
What can you tell me about them?
Look, for legal reasons, we're pretty restricted on what we can say. And unfortunately, like with some other elements in this case, there are going to be things that, as much as we'd like to share with our audience, we can't really do it yet. But there's going to be times when that information will come out.
Why can't we talk about some of that stuff? Like, what is the limitation there?
Really, the key thing is about ensuring that any person who faces court receives a fair hearing and potentially a fair trial.
Yeah.
And if this case does go to a trial, it's going to be before a jury of 12 people. And the most important thing in the legal system when you've got that big trial is that the jury is only considering the evidence that's put to them in the case and not considering other evidence from outside, you know, TikTok or this podcast or the TV news. If any of that information's wrong, that could unfairly taint the trial.
That's got to be really hard to manage though, right? Like people listening to this now could end up being on the jury and just not know it. Like they—
Totally.
It's not reasonable to expect them to not understand that. Like what are they going into this room with like little men in black stick and then they get out the door and they're like, whoop, just wipe your mind, in you go, only know what you got in the court. Like, how does that work?
I think everyone realizes that when you've got, like, this case is massive, right? There's people all around the world that know about this case, that are talking about this case. And I think everyone knows it's pretty unlikely that any of the jury members will have never heard about the mushroom case.
Yeah.
But what's important is that whoever is picked to serve on this jury, that they are considering the evidence that's before the courts. Mm. And that's why when we were talking about what can we talk about and not talk about, really, we need to be careful and we need to stick to what's said to the courts at this stage of the legal process, because that could be the information that ends up in front of the jury. And at the end of the day, what's on TikTok or what's on social media may not be part of the actual evidence in the case.
Right.
And it's important that jury's mind isn't tainted by stuff that actually shouldn't be in the evidence.
Okay, cool. I do really want to do an episode about like how you end up on a jury, how all of that works. I think that's going to be fascinating. But we'll wrap this episode up now. Before we do, what do you think is the most important thing people need to remember about this case as they're listening to this podcast, as they're reading the news about it, as they're talking to their friends about it?
I think one thing that people really shouldn't forget amid all the hysteria, and we know people are obsessed with this case. It's really captured the imagination of so many people, but it shouldn't be forgotten that three people died and all the people that love them in their community are devastated by their loss. Gail and Don Patterson and Heather Wilkinson, members of the Currumburra community just down the road from Lee and Gatha. We saw when there were funerals and memorial services for them, how deeply loved and missed they were. And that should be something that shouldn't be forgotten by everyone, is that at the end of the day, there's three people that lost their lives and there's a community that really misses them.
Thank you, Christian.
We'll be back in your feeds on the afternoon of Monday, the 22nd of April, with all the details from the court hearing for Erin Patterson on that day.
Quick mention?
It could be quick, but you never know with these things.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll be there anyway. Every time this is in court, we'll have a new episode for you. We'll do some explainers on the way as well, answer your questions. To assist with that, we have set up an email address, mushroomcasedaily@abc.net.au, and you can email us. I've tested it. It works. So please get in touch. Flick us a note with your questions. Christian will answer them. And if you can't, we'll tell you why. Explain the restrictions that we're working around as well.
And track down Mushroom Case Daily on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. And that way you won't miss any of the updates.